It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, the Hurricane Hotline. It is game week. Hurricanes and the Gator on Saturday at 3:30. We'll be on the air at 11 o'clock. We can't wait to get this thing rolling. Miami and Florida. I saw this today. This is crazy. Miami's a 2.5-point favorite, and ESPN says Florida has a 57% chance of winning the game. Miami's the favorite, but ESPN says Florida's got a better than 50% chance of winning the game. We'll see. We'll start our coverage at 11 a.m. on Saturday. We've got a gigantic pregame show lined up for you. We've got Tim Reynolds and Christy Chirinos and Brian Monroe and Hollywood and Josh Darrow and Don Bailey. I'll be a part of the pregame. And then 3:30, actually about 3:45, will be kickoff from Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, Florida Field. Right now, the weather report is really pretty good. 91 degrees expected at kickoff. A few afternoon clouds, a stray shower maybe here or there. So we should have a swamp-like weather for Miami and Florida at the swamp. Of course, college football started last weekend. Georgia Tech surprised everybody, knocking off Florida State. That was kind of an interesting game. So that knocks Florida State a little bit sideways, and on Monday they'll play Boston College. So they have two, they start the season with back-to-back conference games. Coming up on the show, Mario Cristobal momentarily, Don Bailey Jr. and I will break things down. Larry Bluestein will join us. Old Blue will talk about recruiting. He'll talk about Miami and Florida, and boy, we take a lot of pride in our high school football here in South Florida, but we took it on the chin. No other way to say it. We took it on the chin this past weekend. I went to a couple of those games, saw St. Thomas and Bishop Gorman from Las Vegas. St. Thomas had like an 11-point lead. And then you talk about putting a pin in the balloon. Gorman went down the field, scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and St. Thomas never recovered. So we'll talk about that with Old Blue. Chaminade took it on the chin, lost late, gave up a big touchdown run, had the lead, gave up a big touchdown run late in the game. So they, too, had a pin stuck in their balloon. At any rate, we've got Miami and Florida coming up on Saturday, 3:30 kickoff. We're on the air at 11 a.m. You can hear the game on QAM or, of course, on the Odyssey app. And if you're nationwide on the Odyssey app or SiriusXM will also carry the game as well. But first, we begin our first edition of the Mario Cristobal Show. Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show as we kick off the 2024 University of Miami college football season. Alongside Mario Cristobal, Don Bailey Jr., Joe Zagacki, Miami and the Florida Gators on Saturday at 3:30 from the Swamp. What a way to start the season. And we will get to plenty of Gator talk. But, Coach, welcome to the 2024 season. Training camp complete. All eyes on Gainesville. But as you take a look at training camp, what were some of the best parts of it for you?
I think the best part was everything that led up to training camp. You know, the type of offseason we had, the winter conditioning program, the signing classes, the portal additions, the development of our current players, some of the guys that were banged up, getting healed up and participating and then just getting better and taking major roles on the team. So all in all, a team coming together and thinking team first and working hard.
Coach, what are some of the secrets as far as trying to create culture with 40 or 41 new players from January to today? It's got to be a challenge.
Well, I think it's what the world is now. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably more norm than not. As crazy as that sounds. And I think when you get here in January, it's different. And we had some seasoned guys that came in that really want to win, you know? And they saw opportunity and they also saw some pieces that were in place that led them to feel strongly about, hey, if I could be the missing piece at this position that can make this happen. And so they're very like-minded individuals. The guys that are here have been just awesome in terms of working hard to continue to build the program. So the transition was a great one, you know, and we've certainly appreciated everyone's effort in making it happen. Led to a great camp.
a lot of off-season talk or in training camp talk about quarterback Cam Ward and his work ethic. Maybe we can discuss a little bit why his work ethic has been such a positive on the program.
I mean, hard work and good people is, you know, almost undefeated, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the guy was raised the right way. He's got awesome parents. He's strong-minded, tough, hardworking, driven, humble human being, and happens to be uber talented. And he just wants to win. He wants to win. He wants to impact this program. He chose Miami when he could have gone anywhere else because of his belief in the people and the system and the parts around him. It's been awesome to watch him work. He's super competitive. He plays a game. He plays a position like a linebacker, really. So he's awesome to be around.
Coach, let's stay on him for a moment. The thing that I've been impressed with is, I mean, he beats everybody to the office. Maybe not you, but a lot of people to the office. And that's not just once. That's every day. But he also stays after practice and has spent time on developing his own chemistry with this football team. And you can't really ask for much more than that.
No, and you could see he's not a guy seeking attention.
That's true.
He's not interested in that stuff. He's not, you know, and it just goes through the last couple of weeks, you probably haven't heard much from him at all. And that's fine with him. He's focused on what he has to focus on. And so are the rest of our guys. So it's a blessing to have Cam Ward here.
22 years old, 45 career starts. That's nice to have that kind of experience at that position.
Without a doubt, he started at different places, yep, in different systems, with different personnel. He's played from behind. He's played with leads. He's played in different conferences, different, you know, parts of the country with different weather. I mean, he's been all over, you know, and he's certainly he's established himself here in the last 9 months as a guy that is just ready to work and ready to help take Miami to another level.
Was fortunate that he came in January. Mm-hmm. Amy Martinez came in the summer and has had a very good camp and is very impressive as well.
Without a doubt, just a very tough-minded, hard-working guy. A guy, if you watch his film, the way he plays is the way he approaches his craft. He goes after it hard, very physical, but he's also fast, explosive, and elusive. And the best part, he's hungry. He feels that he's nowhere near as good as he can be. He comes to work every day trying to get better. And that's our commitment to him. So we're just trying to get better every single day in every way.
Might as well stay on running backs for a moment. What have you seen from that position with the running backs alongside Damian Martinez?
I've seen a lot of competition, a lot of guys that have done a really good job of welcoming competition. Mm-hmm. It's not an ominous presence or whatnot. You know what I mean? I think sometimes when you have a room that acquires more talent, some people get almost offended, or they tend to shell up or whatnot. It's been the opposite. AJ Allen has been awesome. You know, Chris Johnson has been awesome. You know, Chris Wheatley Humphrey got banged up a little bit, but he's on the mend. He's okay now, so he missed a little bit of time. But Jordan Lyle has been great. I mean, Mark Fletcher has been practicing with us 100%, you know, for about 3.5-4 weeks now, and looks great. So all those guys have a really neat battle going. We're different in all those body types. We're big, we're strong, we're fast. We got slash runners, we got one cut runners. We got a little bit of everything in that room, and you know, those guys are fun to be around.
You've created the same versatility at the wide receiver spot too. You got a different bunch of different body shapes and sizes and looks there as well.
Getting better. Again, our roster has taken shape more and more as the years go by. And certainly took a pretty big step this past season.
Coach, how do you approach, I guess this is more strategically the playbook stuff, mm-hmm, when you have a lot of guys, this is going to be the norm, right? Guys coming in later, not late, mm-hmm, but coming in at spring or after spring. Mm-hmm. Do you tailor it for them to get used to you, or do you have to find what's good for their tendencies?
You've always got to have a base, a foundation, but you have to put players first. It's always about the players. Players over plays, 100%. So what do some guys do well that maybe you haven't done, but that you can research and you can make some tweaks here and there to make it happen, to make it a reality? And so, but you always make sure that you recruit guys with transparency and clarity so they understand what they're coming into and what they have to do to be an impact player, right? Because if you don't, it never works, right? The whole foundation has to be trust and honesty. And so when you do that and you start to increase the amount of capable weapons that you have on your roster, yeah, you start expanding more and more. And I think our coordinators and coaches have done a really good job of that.
Coach, the value of having both your coordinators come back is huge.
Yes.
makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Defensively, Coach Guidry's back, but you got a lot of new faces on that side of the football. Maui Noah is a linebacker. What a great leader he's turned out to be.
Awesome leader. Another guy, man. Him and his brother, whole family, just hardworking, tough, tough, high care factor people that just want to continue to get better. And they're really driven. They really want to make this opportunity one that that they can really, like, the impact on others for them is a real thing. You know, they want to win, and they want to be a reason why, one of the reasons why Miami is doing well again.
This is what's happening with your team and your roster, because you talk a little bit about, talk a little bit like that about several players. Reuben Bain, he wants to have an impact, has an impact, and he always seems to me always striving to get better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to build it, you know, and we've taken some really, really good, strong steps as a program to do so. Reuben Bain is getting better because he is challenged by his teammates. Mm-hmm. The guys that are competing for his playing time and the guys that he's got to line up across every single day. And that's not only recruiting, you know, a certain caliber of athlete, but also a mentality that comes with that particular player that's going to push and drive and not shy away from what comes with that. I mean, when you put a bunch of alphas together, typically it gets pretty heated and physical and competitive. And the goal for us is to get those guys working in the same direction with each other to make a tremendous push.
Ruben's got to be happy to have Mezador back too, because Mezador just creates more problems for the offense.
Mezador is, I can't say enough about the type of camp that he's had. Really excited to watch him play again.
On that competition note, a couple weeks ago, I spoke to Jalen Rivers, and he said, man, there are no reps that you get off anymore. If I'm not dealing with Reuben Bain, I'm dealing with Mezador, and beside him, it's Barrow or somebody else on that defensive line. There are no off reps for anybody.
Getting better, you know, that's the bottom line, getting better. We've practiced to a point where we've improved ourselves in the trenches on both sides, with our pad level, our technique, our physicality. And it's got to keep getting better. And it'll be tested because we play a very large offense and defensive line up in Gainesville this coming weekend.
Coach, you lost a lot of people in the secondary, and that required some rebuilding. How has that gone from January to August?
It's been exciting because these guys can flat out play. They're explosive. They're fast. They've got great ball skills. These guys, some have waited their turn, but some stepped in last year as well. Jadis Richards stepped in. Mm-hmm. Damari Brown stepped in, right? Jaden Harris stepped in, you know, when Cam was down for a couple of days. Markeith Williams all of a sudden is playing really good football. We signed some good freshmen. Meech Powell has been incredible, you know, as a player and as a leader. So we've got some really good pieces that everyone's really excited about. And those guys, they're looking forward to the challenge. You know, they know that they've been questioned a little bit, and that's all right by them.
We're going to get to the Gators in a moment. We do have some changes in the game. Technology comes into the game this year, right? Mm-hmm. Coaches can talk to players on the field, mm-hmm. kind of like the NFL, and we have a two-minute timeout. College football calls it the timeout, not the two-minute warning, but we do have a two-minute timeout that has entered into college football.
Sure, you got to factor in all those things, yeah. And certainly we did extensive research and met extensively with different NFL teams on how the usage of the two-minute timeout, right, and how you use timeouts around it, you know, both offensively and defensively. And situational football was certainly expanded throughout camp as well, so that we take advantage of every opportunity and every scenario with our staff and players, you know, to do everything we can to put ourselves in the best spot to make it work.
Coach, one thing you do constantly is put your players and your team in every situation imaginable, and you do it more than once. They've seen everything that you can think of multiple times, and the importance of that.
Well, now it's the importance is carried over to the game,
right?
But I mean, you're supposed to play the game every day, right? I mean, you play the game before you play the game on a daily basis, right? Every block, every tackle, every throw, every catch, every pass defended, all that stuff. You do it again and again and again, so it becomes second nature. And when football becomes second nature for a player, mm-hmm. special things happen, and we want those things to become second nature for our guys.
We'll have more of Mario Cristobal coming up in our next segment, but first, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership founded over 50 years ago. They are more than a dealership at Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, they are our friends and neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base. You know why? Because they stay focused on the customer experience. Think about it. What do you want the most when you go shopping, whether it's for automobile or anything. Great customer service, and that's what you're going to get at Williamson Cadillac. Not only great customer service, but the best in automobiles. There's no question about that. They've got new models coming in every single day. You want to enjoy the world-class customer service they have? Of course, but also check out all of the new models coming into Williamson Cadillac. They're going to have what you're looking for, the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, XT6, of course, the all-new electric Lyriq. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. We are talking about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
It's the Hurricanes and the Gators from the Swamp on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. 57th meeting between Miami and Florida. Hurricanes lead the all-time series 29-27. What a way to start the season. A rivalry game against the Florida Gators. This is the kind of game, I guess during training camp, all eyes can be pointed toward a big opening game.
I still think you have to put the eyes on yourself first, right? Before you go and play anybody, you got to know exactly who you are. You got to establish your identity. And we had a really good idea of that identity because of spring ball and this type of summer that we had. So as we entered camp, the focus was on us, but we would always sprinkle in opponent work, you know, at the end of every day, in the middle of a practice, and then ramped it up more and more over the last week and a half. So all in all, it's been just an awesome camp for the sheer fact that guys got better, people got better, systems got better. Second year coordinators and the involvement of their systems improved. And it's an exciting time. You know, our players, they put in a lot of time, and the juice and the energy they feel is something that, you know, they've been working hard to feel. You know, they're enthused and excited about this game, and they're ready to get to meetings tonight and practice tomorrow.
Coach, you talk about identity, and without question, the blueprint shows you want to be a physical football team. And that just doesn't mean on the offensive side, that means on the defensive side. But you practice that every day.
We do. We do. And you know what? We practice it on the perimeter too. Everybody thinks it's just the trenches. You know, over the years, we've had great secondaries. We really have. You know, we've had great perimeter blockers in the form of tight ends and wide receivers, fullbacks detached, all that stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, these games aren't won on paper. And I know you know, the offseason's long, you know, so I know you guys got to put out your preseason, you know, super stud this and super stud that, and I get it, but man, all this stuff is settled on the field. You see it every single week in college football, and you're going to see it every single week in college football this season as well. So for us, every ounce of focus on preparing to the best of our abilities.
What are your thoughts on the Gators? What have you seen? And I know it's a little bit difficult first game, a little bit of a guessing game here because they've added some players as well. But your thoughts on facing Florida and what you're up against?
Well, defensively, they're uber talented. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are very multiple in terms of their fronts, you know, their blitz patterns, their coverages and whatnot. They're really big and athletic. Really, really big inside. Their front seven certainly has done a really good job knocking people back, and they've done a great job at home playing defense as well. You know, something to point out. And their secondary, they have some new pieces, but they have a lot of experience back there, long and athletic guys. And you know, on the flip side, just enormous offensive line. You know, they do a great job running the ball. They pounded people really well in their conference and outside their conference. Their quarterback he's a game changer. You know, he really is. He certainly his completion percentage in normal down and distances as well as in pressure situations on third down when faced with pressure is impressive. They've got explosive wide receivers. I mean, you've seen enough of their guys to know that they have essentially maybe one of the best receiving corps, not only in their conference, but maybe the country. So big, powerful tight ends. They're a loaded group. They're one of the most talented teams in the country. You know, they've recruited really well. They've got a lot of really good portal players. It's a it's an awesome, awesome opportunity for our program.
Coach, let's go back to the quarterback. Graham Mertz was at Wisconsin, and I don't think people realize nationally, unless you really study it, he was one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the country last year. His touchdown interception ratio and his completion percentage, he's a special talent.
Special talent and second year in the system as well. You know, so, you know, a guy that certainly, you know, you study opponents as thoroughly as you can imagine. The more you watch him, the more you realize what a great player he is.
Wilson is one of those wide receivers, was a five-star player coming out of high school, had five or six touchdowns a year ago. They try to get him the ball in a variety of ways. He's a player that has an impact on the game.
He impacts the game in a lot of different ways. As explosive of a player as you'll see in the country. I know he's going to be involved in the return game as well. So a guy that if you watch, you know, their first game against against University of Georgia, you know, down there, very first drive, he's the one they hit on a, you know, 25, 30-yard touchdown. And he's that fast. He's that explosive. So certainly the quarterback is complemented by a big physical offensive line and some really explosive playmakers.
Coach, one thing that always gets missed at this time of year, especially coming into week one, is special teams. Both sides have got outstanding kickers, and there's as much competition to get on the plane and get on the field on special teams as anywhere on the football field. But you've worked extremely hard. I know you personally are involved in that. How are special teams progressing, not just the punter and the kicker, but overall?
Tremendous amount of emphasis on protection and coverage, of course, particularly in your punt schemes or whatnot. And, you know, we've got some good returners. So you certainly want to spend time, you know, scheming that up. Even though nowadays most opponent kickers, they kick the ball right out of the end zone, you still have to be ready for whatever opportunities you get. But certainly, you know, we feel really strongly about our punter, our long snapper, our personnel, our kicker. We know we face a really good kicker, a really good punter, and some really talented athletes in their special teams as well. I mean, it's going to be a tremendous battle, very physical. Battle of just really high caliber athletes.
You probably say in any game, turnovers, penalties, swing a game. Is it more important in the first game? Because obviously it's the first game. First game sometimes, you don't get a preseason game. So sometimes first games can be sloppy. So the importance of playing a clean game has to be a priority, right?
Every single game.
Yeah.
Every single game. You know, you have the opportunity to practice all this time leading up to game one. You know, you switch to scout teams, but you're still going good on good on a daily basis. You got to go speed on speed, right? So that you don't get faced with that tremendous adjustment on game day when you go against an opponent. But no, it's the things that you mentioned always determine the outcome of a game, right? So tremendous amount of emphasis on all that and more.
Strength and conditioning, big part, especially opening game in South Florida, whether it's if it was at Hard Rock or it's going to be at the Swamp, it's going to be hot and it's going to be loud. But really, the team that's the best condition is going to have a big advantage.
Always does. I mean, football rewards those teams and those players that are in elite condition. And like you said, some guarantees in this world, it's going to be hot. It's going to be loud. There's going to be a lot of great players on that field. You know, what a blessing.
It is going to be loud, 88,000. You have been practicing with the crowd noise, so that's a real positive. And you have this, we talked earlier about the technology, being able to talk to players on the field. Does that help with this kind of environment?
I watched week one, and I constantly saw like quarterbacks and other players really like squeezing their helmets and making signs, I can't hear. And talking to a lot of NFL coaches, they say that all the time those systems go out. So you better have your normal systems in place and your backup plans in place as well. And remember, you can talk to one guy. It's not like you could have a conversation, right, with a bunch of guys. And they're not talking back, you know what I mean? So it's like it's one-way communication. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Plus those guys on the field, it's hard enough for you to get the technology in, but just on the field in that environment, you know, talking to the guys along the line of scrimmage is still going to be loud and problematic.
It's why we signed up to play at the University of Miami back in the day. Always you respect your opponent to the fullest, and you live for opportunities like this. And let's go prepare. I mean, let's stay along the lines of preparation, nothing else. That's all we got to focus on.
Coach, the iPad, Mm-hmm. Is that correct? How to describe it on the sideline? That's been established as well. And I know that you've been practicing with it and making it a part of it. Mm-hmm. How has that benefited the game?
Well, I mean, it's instantaneous shot of what's going on. You know, I'm sure, you know, I could see Coach Kehoe throwing it out. You know, he'd rather draw the big, you know, oval eggs, you know, for offensive linemen on the grease board. But, no, you know, sometimes you can miss something. You know, you have a really good idea. If you have a good sets of eyes, you capture just about everything. But every now and then, there's something that you miss. You know, like you may get away from a play because it got blowed up. It's like, oh, man, the guard stepped on the center. That's why we never got that back block. Well, that's a good play. Look at the rest of it. It's blocked perfectly. You know, so there's a lot of things that could come with that coverage standpoint. I mean, there's a lot.
But also, I'm smiling a little bit because a lot of things happen on that sideline. That iPad's a bit of a truth serum, isn't it? The story changes once it's presented a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Don't use iPads unless you want the whole truth, right?
That's right.
But no, it's going to be a tremendous benefit to us. We've used them throughout practice, and we feel that we have simplified its use without making the game too complicated. I mean, you don't have to use it for every little thing. But you do have people assigned to them. You have it so it's systematic, and its usage is something that's efficient and beneficial without being confusing.
Truth serum, that's good. Good one, Don. You played in a couple of Miami, Florida games, but there was a time, five of them.
We know.
Your era, I don't think, had a chance to play
in
Florida.
No, sir.
So I always think this is a great game to be played in the state, and that the kids that play in it is, you know, it's a thrill for them to be able to play against the guys they've grown up with.
No, the amount of energy and passion that surrounds a rivalry like this is something that very few people ever get to experience. And I never got to experience it as a player, but we watched it, you know, all the time. And the fact that our players get to have this as part of their experience at the University of Miami is awesome because this runs deep. I mean, what's behind this now is, come on now. I mean, it's going to be as hyped up as can be for everything surrounding while we keep our heads cool so that we can, you know, create the right kind of juice and the right kind of energy. But it's awesome.
Last thing for you. High school football, Little League football, it all got underway this weekend. Wherever you go to a Little League game, the parks are packed. Go to a high school game, parks are packed. But I also noticed that the high school games, a lot of orange and green at the high school games, Coach. Not only in the stands, but I see little orange and green tags on a lot of helmets now.
Well, Miami is working its way to where it needs to be. And it's doing it the right way. And our best ambassadors are the players within this program. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to see our players back at their respective high school games and wearing proudly the orange and green. Because, again, those are always going to be the best ambassadors and the best recruiters. And if they're developing and growing and excelling here, well, you know what? Their more prominent teammates are going to join them eventually as well.
All right. The very best of luck on Saturday against the Gators. All right. That's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. We'll continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, happy to welcome you back to the show. Still to come, Dan Radakovich will join us, University of Miami Athletic Director, at the top of the hour. Dan Radakovich and then Larry Bluestein will also be on the show tonight. So Hurricane Hotline, big show. Thanks to Mario Cristobal, Don Bailey Jr. with us as we get ready for Canes and Gators embarking on what could be a very long season. Don, if you get to the championship game, whoever gets to the championship game this year, one team, somebody could play 17 games and it'll be the middle of January when it's all over.
I'll take it. No problem. 17, 16, whatever. I'll take it. I have no issues at all, Joe. It'll be a fun, long, enjoyable season if you're talking about having 17 football games.
All right, we're getting ready to go on up to Gainesville. Let's take a look at this game. I was supposed to have a nice day, temperature in the 90s, maybe a stray shower or two, but nothing too terrible. So swamp lake weather. I think right at the top of the list, we've talked about this all summer, right at the top of the list, don't be yourselves. Miami's got to stay away from the turnovers and those penalties, and especially offensive penalties. And then I would top that off, especially when you're in the red zone, because you're going to deal with this 88,000 of Florida Gators' most dearest friends.
Well, I think the number one thing, first of all, you're going to have some penalties in this game. I mean, unfortunately, you're going to be faced with an insane amount of noise, and Miami has done a great job of trying to prepare for that. But, you know, it's a big game for a lot of people that maybe haven't been in a big game. So I think you got to minimize your penalties. I don't think you can expect to play a perfect game. But I do think that you've got to handle that noise. And there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, they've practiced in it, of course, time and time again. But you can also, you know, deal with it with signals and different ways. And Miami understands what they're walking into. You have to remember that Coach Cristobal took an Oregon team a few years ago into Ohio State, and that place is every bit as loud as the swamp. And he was able to produce a big victory there and handle the noise and handle that situation. I think that was a good training ground for him to prepare for this football game. And I look for it to be, you know, very, very similar to that type of stadium. I haven't been there since the last time, of course, Miami played there, but I always remember that stadium being difficult to play in, but I also like the challenge that it presents. And I think that's how you have to look at it. I think it's a challenge for this football team. I think they've got to realize that when they accomplish their goal of beating the University of Florida, it's something that they'll remember the rest of their life, and it's a big opportunity in front of the whole country.
Let's talk about one thing in regard to you before I go into more of the University of Miami, because you just spurred something in my brain here, and you had some pretty interesting experiences in Gainesville at Florida Field. You went up there 1 year with Howard Schnellenberger. I think that was 1980 or 81. Beat him up there, and I guess it would have been – I think you went up there back-to-back years. They pelted you with oranges or tangerines right at the end of the game, and Coach Schnellenberger ordered a field goal at the end of the game, and then you went back up there, I think, the following year with a highly ranked team. And James Jones caught an impossible touchdown pass. I think it was Jeff Davis missed the field goal. However, as I told you on the practice field the other day, I think if there was instant replay, then both of them would have been overturned.
I love your optimism, Joseph, especially when it comes to officiating. I happen to agree with you. You know, the 1980 deal. I found very interesting because we were playing Florida up there, and we're putting it on them pretty good. We had beat them pretty good the year before in 79, right at home. We finished our season, and then we get to go up there and then play them. And, you know, they were pelting our sidelines probably from the entire fourth quarter with oranges and anything that they could throw on the field. And I mean, I remember, you know, I could still see it in my mind's eye that, you know, a couple of the cheerleaders got damn near knocked out, you know, and we're like dodging bullets while Jim Kelly's throwing touchdowns. And it was coach called, it was towards, I mean, there was less than a couple minutes in the game left, and Coach Schnellenberger calls a timeout and signals for the field goal team. And I happened to be the staffer at that time. And he sends us out there to kick a field goal. And, you know, his quote was somewhat, he was asked, why did you kick that field goal? To rub, you know, Florida's nose in it. He says, no, not necessarily. And I'm not quoting him directly, but he says, I wanted the media to ask me why I kicked the field goal so I could tell the media how unruly and how difficult the fans made it on the sideline by, you know, throwing ice and oranges and anything that wasn't nailed down, they were throwing on the bench. And, you know, he wanted to bring attention to it, and he did. And that's, you know, that's the kind of thinking that he did. He also threw a little gasoline more on the rivalry, which he never mind doing that either. But it was that was an interesting game. And every one of them that I played in, I would say to this day, I loved it. And I think this is, I think for anybody, if it was a Florida player or a Miami player, that if you had an opportunity to play in this game, it was, I can say this for the Miami guys, it was the most important game on the schedule for decades. And you always look forward to it. And that's why, you know, you asked me about first game, last game. And I think if you ask anybody that has a history in this game, on the Miami side, I can't speak for the Gator, but on the Miami side, is Hurricanes don't give a damn, Joe. Play them anytime, any place, anywhere. Does not matter. Never matters. Never has mattered. Never will matter. And that's just the way the rivalry's built. And I think that's what's made it so special, because both teams have been very, very successful.
In 81, you beat them 21-20. Yeah. Danny Miller kicks a 58-yard field goal. Mark Richt threw a touchdown pass in that game to Rocky Belk. Came off the bench sure because did. Jim Kelly got hurt, right? Were you the long snapper on the field goal?
I was the long snapper all 4 years, and I started that game as well. I started a bunch against them. I got some good stories about that deal. But you know, it was good. Mark Richt went in there, and I think we were up there. Let's see, 82. We played them up there in 82. So we were probably in Miami in 81. So
81 is an Orange Bowl game.
Orange Bowl, right.
He played in the Orange Bowl, not the Orange Bowl game. Played in the Orange Bowl. Kelly gets knocked out, and Mark Richt comes in and throws a touchdown pass.
He had us marching, man. We were determined, and you know that was in the Orange Bowl. You were there. I mean
I was in the West End zone. I saw the kick hit the upright and go through.
Yeah, he was, and that I think Danny Miller. If that was 81, he was named All American that year. I think that kick helped him become an All American, and it certainly added to the lore of Miami versus Florida.
And then the next year, 82, hottest game I've ever been to. Hotter than Miami, Florida State at the Orange Bowl. Hottest game I've ever been on a sideline for. And that was a 17-14. What a game that was. They had guys like Wilbur Marshall. I mean, he was an incredible outside linebacker. James Jones caught the game-winning touchdown. I think you had several chances to score in that game, but came up short, including a missed field goal.
Yep, we missed a field goal. I think Mark Rush tried to go over the top one time, and it looked like to us that he made it. And, of course, you're not going to get any calls in the swamp. You know, the only calls you're going to get are going to be against you. But I will say, to your point about the heat, what we had to do in that game is, you know, back then you didn't have much water during practice, but during the game you could have as much as you want. But what they did is that was a turf field back then, and it was, I would imagine it had to be 120 degrees. I mean, it was a September, either late August, early September for game one, and they lined in front of the bench. They laid ice in the bags in front of the whole bench. So when you came off, you'd put your feet on the ice because the tang turf was so hot. It felt like it was melting the bottom of your feet, you know, and it was great. And, you know, I personally, I remember that game pretty clearly. It was not a good game, and it was fun, man. It was too bad we had to lose, but it was a heck of a ball game. And then, you know, 83 is a special deal. They went back up there and unfortunately lost that first game. And Coach Schnellenberger came back and analyzed the fact that Bernie Kosar threw a bunch of picks that day. But he thought he was right, as always, as Coach was, is that he said those things could all be fixed, and he made the right choice at quarterback, and then they went on to win 12 football games in a row and bring Miami the first national championship.
See, this series, it's almost not fair that the let me rephrase that. It is completely not fair that the newer or younger Hurricane fan doesn't or didn't experience Miami, Florida at its highest level. The 86 game was a bloodbath. But part of the reason, I think part of the reason there's this, I'm trying to find another word other than hatred, dislike for Florida, is it's always slanted. This series is always slanted to what's best for Florida. For example, in the 80s, what we're talking about, 82, Miami goes to Florida. 83, Miami goes to Florida. 84, the game is played in Tampa. They never want to come down here to play. 85, the series returns to Miami. 86, it goes up there. 87, it comes down here. And then they wave the white flag.
Yeah, they waved a big white flag. And you know, but I will, you know, that's okay because it's Miami's mindset is and has been and is today as well, any place, anytime, anywhere, especially if it's a Gator, you know. And you know, the beautiful thing about the rivalry is this, is, you know, I'll speak for myself. I mean, I had my high school coach was my first high school coach was Joe Brodsky. He still got records. If you will, we'll look at, I'm going to look for it Saturday in the game notes up there. And he went from Miami Jackson and was a fantastic record setting player for the Gator. And then after him was Mike Uspensky. He played for the University of Florida. And then I had Kim Helton, who was my offensive line coach at Miami for 4 years and at Tampa Bay for a year. Heck, he was a starting center at Florida. Heck, my brother graduated from the University of Florida. So, I mean, it's not like you don't have a love for the people that went for Florida because I do. You know, there's been very influential people in my life and family members that went to Florida. But for that 60 minutes of football or that 3.5 hours once a year, you know what that deal's about. And I find this to be true in most cases, is that you ask anybody at the University of Miami and what their record is against Florida, they'll tell you. Now, only you would remember the score. I can remember the record. And I asked somebody who had a conversation with Coach Spurrier in the last couple of weeks, and because I brought this up during the conversation, and I said, did you ask Coach Spurrier that? He says he absolutely ripped it off in 1 second. He knew exactly what his record was against Miami. So, you know, it's an important game for the state, important game for college football. And let's be honest, Joe, you know, it used to be and probably could hold true today is that if you win the state championship, you know, whoever wins, let's say if Miami beats Florida and beats Florida State, there's a good chance Miami's going to the playoffs. I mean, you beat those two football teams. No, same thing for Florida, same thing for Florida State. You know, that happens. There's a chance you're going to be recognized nationally because people understand the athletes and the understanding of that rivalry.
We have Dan Radakovich coming up in our next segment, and then Larry Bluestein joins us. We'll be on the air at 11 a.m. on Saturday from Gainesville if the University of Florida ever gets us our passes. But that's another story.
See? They're playing with you already, Joe. They're playing with you already.
I think the University of Miami printer is going to break down next year. For Cam Ward.
I think it should.
Cam Ward, he's had a very good camp, very good spring, has said all the right things, done all the right things in this game. He's got to be consistent. Accurate throws, a lot of completions, can't afford any dry spells.
You know, I saw him today and spoke with him briefly today, and it's business for him, and that's the right approach. And he's done every single thing that he can do to put him in a position to be successful from the beginning. You know, from a zero-star athlete coming out of high school to going to Incarnate Word and then going to Washington State. And he has graduated with honors with each step. And this is why he came to the University of Miami, is to play in a game like this. And the games like this get you ready for the National Football League. Not the crowd and not the circumstance, but the talent that you're going to face. And I agree with you. You know, Cam Ward has just got to be Cam Ward. You can't put this game on Jim Kelly's shoulders or Mark Richt's shoulders or Cam Ward's shoulders or Bernie Kosar. You can't put this game on that. This is the whole team. Now, he's going to lead, and he's going to do the right things. And I know, based on watching what he's done as a Hurricane and what he's done in the past, that he is capable of helping win this football game. And Miami's very fortunate to have him on their squad.
Well, I'm already smoking hot for Miami and Florida, so I hope everybody else gets riled up as well. When we come back, we'll talk with Dan Radakovich, and then Larry Bluestein will join us. We'll talk about recruiting. Tough weekend for the South Florida High School football. The Road Warriors came in here from around the country and did a pretty good number, but we'll find out what's going on there and talk about Miami and Florida with Old Blue, because he's got a great historical perspective on the Hurricanes and the Gators, as well as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline right after this.